You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
So we're on Armour of God. Armour of God is actually following on from the previous message, which was our repurpose message. You can listen to that online. And actually, if you want to pick up the previous messages from here, I do apologise, but they are finally now online. It's been a bit of a busy few weeks. Those messages online, if you want to pick up on those. And really, it was just looking at the armour of God again. And it wasn't just because I thought it was something that Limbrick would needed to hear following on from that. But as I was speaking to lots of different people, I was just hearing that people are talking about busy lives or little things that just seem to come along, tiny little things, and they blow into something absolutely massive. One of the examples I gave you was a lady I was talking to that said, well, we had a leaking tap or a leaking pipe, and it ended up that they didn't fix the leak. They actually redid the whole bathroom. And she said, my life just seems to be like that at the moment. It's so difficult that something little turns into something very, very big. How do I get through my day? And actually, I felt God say to me that moment, have you got my armor on? Have you got my armor on? And I thought that was a real challenge to us. So why armor? What does the Bible say about armor? And this is what we're kind of unpicking at the moment. So I mentioned earlier in the children's talk, you know, the orange, that example of the orange. The orange comes with skin on. You don't actually have to put the skin on the orange. That's how you get them. And the example with that was, as I said a moment ago, the orange floats with the skin on, the orange floats. It's got some natural protection and it's buoyant. But actually, when you take the skin off the orange and you put it in some water, it sinks. And sometimes our lives can feel like that, that we've actually got up in the morning before the day's even started. I can't find my shoe and I'm starting the day on the wrong foot and I just feel like I'm drowning already. And actually, the armor is something that I really felt God was saying, put that armor on. It's something I've given to you. It should just be as natural as breathing. That armor should be on. And I did actually ask the question, can you take the armor off? Proverbs 14:12, I read as we were looking at the orange example and the belt of truth. And that was the first piece of armor we looked at, that belt of truth. And Proverbs 14:12 says this, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. There are some things that you and I will think are right. And actually, we look at our culture and our society, and there are so many things which are presented as right. And yet we see, even through the statistics, we'll pick some of this up in a minute, it leads to death. So first and foremost, the first piece of armor we need is to buckle up and stand firm on the truth of God's word. And last week, or at the end of that first week, I closed with the words saying we need to be thinking truth. We need to be thinking truth. The last piece of armor last week was the breastplate, or last time we did this, was the breastplate of righteousness. And our reading this week, I took that from Philippians 4, verse 8. And it said this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, there's a lot of whatevers there, isn't there? If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And actually, the flow that I was going with on that part of the message was, if we've got this breastplate of righteousness, it's there to protect the Roman soldier at the time, particularly the vital organs. And the thing we went with, I felt God was saying, is we've got to protect our hearts. And that's not the first time that's come up. We've got to protect our hearts, because whatever we put into our hearts, the scriptures say, out of the overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks. You know, someone said to me, if you hang out with someone for long enough, or you just say, hey, how you doing? And you're silent, you don't say another thing. Whatever's in their heart instantly comes out. So we've got to guard our hearts. What do we put in our hearts? I did mention the bottom of the garden feeling. You know, I don't know why when we go to the bottom of the garden late at night, but you end up running back to the house terrified and locking the door and everything else. What was that? What is inside me that has this terrified thing? Have I watched certain films or whatever else that stuff comes in my mind? Whatever's in my mind or in my heart, it leaks out. So we've got to be careful. We've got to protect our hearts. And actually, are we being attracted to any sin or worldly ways, were some of the questions. And actually, if you look in your notice sheets on the very back page, I think it is this time around, I put some of the questions that we pondered at the end of the message last week. So I think there were 8 things that we just sat, we had almost a quiet time of reflection at the end of the message last week. And I've given you those again this week. I should have put them on last time, but there's 8 things on the back just to think about. You know, am I humble? What is the things in this world that I might be attracted to? Am I giving in to any condemnation? Am I constantly giving thanks? What am I believing about God? They were really good things that we can just sit and ponder or reflect upon. This week, we are onto the third piece of armor. So, feet fitted with the gospel of peace. It's interesting, I think, because as I was going through this, we talk about armor, but I don't know what you were actually thinking. If you could check in your Bibles, does it mention sandals anywhere? It's quite. I was just curious because I thought, oh, it's the sandals, isn't it? We go for the armor. We got to the sandals. Does it talk about sandals? Some versions do actually mention shoes, but I couldn't find actually anything that mentions sandals. Good challenge. You can go back and have a look and say it does say in this translation. I did check quite a few online. I couldn't find any sandals everywhere. It's something maybe we've added as an interpretation because we would have known what a Roman soldier wore. And there are many things that you can read about that this footwear was made of. Some say they're like boots. Some say they have spikes on the bottom. And actually, if you look at some of this, certainly if you get any Roman geeks, they will be into the fact that they are these particular shoes with these good spikes on the bottom. Some scholars and teachers say Paul is actually talking here about the readiness to preach the gospel to the lost. And this is quite an interesting point, because I don't know, when you think about preaching the gospel of peace or feet fitted with the gospel of peace, we start to add things to it. We add sandals to it. And actually, we start saying about where we've got to go and all these other things. But actually, although Isaiah 52:7 and Romans 10:17 speak about having that feet of the one preaching good news, or how can people hear if we don't go, it makes total sense that all Christians should be sharing the gospel. 1 Peter says we must be ready to give that account. But we are told this armor, we've got to what? We put on the armor and stand, we pray, stand firm. Just think about that for a moment, because if our feet are fitted with the gospel of peace, What is it that we're supposed to be doing with this? And this is a good challenge just to ponder on for a minute, because what is Paul actually saying, and what is my interpretation of where we should be going? So you see on the screen there, we've got two different translations of the Ephesians, what is it, 6:15 we're up to, aren't we? And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace is the NIV's translation. Or actually, if you went to the King James, the New King James says, having your feet shod with the feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, depending on your translation, you'll see there is no footwear name still in there. We haven't got sandals, shoes, or anything that's going on. Some say shoes, but actually, instead of getting caught up whether it's shoes or sandals or the other things, I think we need to focus on that word preparation, or that word readiness. What is actually the readiness, or being ready, or being prepared with the gospel of peace all about? Because I believe in this particular context, Paul is not calling us to evangelism. Think about that for a moment. I don't think Paul is calling us to an evangelism with this, but actually defending the word of God here. He's saying you've got to be ready to defend the word of God, to defend the church, to defend God and defend ourselves. Now, actually, it's quite ironic, probably in a polar opposite kind of way. The gospel of peace helps us to wage war. But that's what we're doing here. The gospel of peace is waging war against an enemy without losing ground. It's really important because we're told to stand firm. And Paul tells us more than once in this little thing, stand firm, stand firm. I always thought we put the sandals on, we're ready to go. Come on, get me sandals on, I can skid over anything. But actually, no, Paul is saying stand firm here. And he doesn't mention sandals, he doesn't mention footwear. He's talking about being fitted, feet fitted with the readiness or the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, in our culture today, and as in Paul's day, the gospel was being mishandled. You can certainly read through a number of the letters. It was either being blurred or deliberately mistaught for the sake of helping people feel okay about their sin. The world doesn't like the word sin. It's a word, probably in church we don't like the word sin, but certainly if you say to somebody, I've had more than one person as I'm sharing gospel and hopefully good news, they say, I am not a sinner. I hate that word sin. I am not a sinner. People don't like the word sin, but we have to accept people for who they are. And we have to accept their identity, is what the world is saying. People can choose their own lifestyle choices, and that should be respected, even celebrated. Sin shouldn't be celebrated. Sin is sin, and the gospel has something to say about it. And the gospel, the good news that we were talking about, is that although we've sinned, although we've fallen short of God's standard, and I've said it before, not only have I fallen short of God's standard, I know I've fallen short of my standard as well, but God has made a way that, as per that G-O-S-P-E-L we said a minute ago, God has made a way that I can stand in that right relationship with him. He has done everything that I need in order to have that restored relationship with him. Because I know if God judged my heart, I would be found guilty of sinning. And all of us, it says in this room, would be found guilty of something. And we recognize that. So therefore, we come before a God whose love is fair. He's got fair mercy. He's got fair justice. And the gospel, the good news, is that God sent his son. Remember, what was the G? G was God, O, our, S, sins. So we got our sins. P, paid. E, everyone, life. God has since paid everyone life. God has made a way. He's paid that price so that you and I can freely enter into that relationship with him. And it's given to us as a gift. What he said was, we cannot earn it. If you remember in the video, we cannot earn this. This is not something I can go to church and do my checking in, or I can buy this like Simon the Sorcerer or whatever it was. This is a gift that God gives to us. And when someone gives you a gift, you've got to accept that gift. And hopefully, when it's a good gift, you cherish it and you look after it. And this is the good news. The judgment we deserve that separates us from God forever is taken away, and we can have that restored relationship with him. But as per our reading a minute ago, this is done through faith. Faith is believing in something we cannot see, but know it's true. Do you remember that Jesus illustration that I put up on the screen, and I had all those little blocks that came up on the screen? Do you remember, for those that were here? And I said, you know, there's Jesus on the screen, and you couldn't see Jesus. But when you looked in a slightly different way, and I put the board around the outside, you could see Jesus. You just see something in a different way. And the thing was, it was always there. It's just that your mind wasn't trained, or you hadn't looked at it in a certain way. And faith is like that. I remember when I made that animation the very first time at university, and it took the computers, they were a bit slow back in the day, it took this computer nearly 3 days to render this little bit of animation. And everybody kept going past going, oh, what's he doing now? There's another little bit more. And by the time I got to the end of it, I'm like, what you made is Jesus. Can you see Jesus? And it wasn't until I put the board around the outside that all the students went, oh, I've been looking at that for days, and now I can see Jesus. And I'm like, and that was my faith. Faith to believe in something I cannot see. But once I've made that step of faith, I see it. I can't not see it anymore. Paul said to the Philippian jailer, didn't he? Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That is the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So it's really simple to understand, isn't it? I mean, that's not complicated theology or doctrine or anything there. Interestingly, I got something through from the Baptist Union this morning that was talking about how complicated we've actually made the gospel nowadays. And actually, do you need a degree to be able to understand the Bible? Well, some people will make you think you do. But actually, the Bible is fairly simple and it's fairly clear. And on a first draft reading, most people can understand what it's saying. The gospel is simple and easy to understand. And yet, I love this picture. Like an ocean, a child can play on the shore's edge. And yet, the ocean is so vast and so deep that great, huge whales cannot even reach the very bottom of its depths. That's what the gospel is like. It's so simple that a child can engage in it, and yet it's so deep that even our biggest creatures can't get to its bottom. I remember actually in a lecture, we were talking about the doctrine of God, and there was a guy who was preaching on or teaching us on the doctrine of God, and he was just wonderful. He's one of those people you just want to listen to, and they just know more and more and more. And after spending a number of weeks with this chap, and he was explaining the depths of God and the character of God and all this stuff, and we're thinking, this is just amazing. I wish I had his kind of knowledge. And then at the end of the lectures, he then said, and I feel like having gone through all of this, I know God even less. God is so big and so vast, and I know all this stuff, and it's just like a drop in the ocean. God is just huge. And he marveled at that. I haven't got to the end of God. I can't put him in a box. And I think the gospel is the same. It's deep, it's profound, it's alive. It works in many different ways. And equally, it's open to attack. And in many of Paul's letters, he sends people like Timothy to correct false teachers and those adding things to the gospel. Now, there's lots of things plus that you have nowadays. We've got whatever it is, and they put a little plus at the end because we've made it just that little bit better. I don't know if you can have fairy liquid plus or whatever it is. It's so much. Everything's got a plus at the end. But we've got to be really careful that we don't end up with gospel plus. And this is where man can kick into the gospel. And this is what I think Paul is talking about here this morning when we start to defend the gospel, because we can end up with gospel plus. Gospel plus circumcision comes up in the Bible. Gospel plus speaking in tongues can come up. Gospel plus no pork. Gospel plus hats. Gospel plus works. You can start putting all these things together. Oh, yes, you can have the gospel, but you've got to have this bit as well. We don't need any gospel plus. And this is what I think is what Paul is saying here about feet fitted with the readiness or the preparation that comes from the gospel of peace. We are going to have to defend the gospel, and it will probably come from the people you least suspect it, even those inside the church I was reading some articles on. But we see it, don't we? Galatians, Ephesians, Corinthians, you look at a lot of these letters, and actually if you speak to some long-serving pastors, they will say they didn't expect to spend so much time defending the gospel amongst Christians, let alone the world. So what is this gospel? I'm going to throw a sentence up on the screen. Because one of the biggest things that I think the gospel has to battle with today is this. And there's big words in here, so I did put it up. It's a tolerant, all-inclusive universalism that does not confront sinners with their need to repent and believe the gospel. Have a think about that for a moment. A tolerant, this is what the gospel fights against, a tolerant, all-inclusive universalism that does not confront sinners where they need to repent and believe the gospel. Now, that's something to chew over for a moment, but I thought that was quite interesting. Now, universalism, everything goes any way to God, anything, you know, whatever happens, it all leads to God, and actually, it's all going to be all right in the end anyway, it doesn't matter what you do. You know, a tolerant, all-inclusive. See, the world will believe, get you to believe that it's all about love and tolerance. And I see this a lot everywhere. It's all about love. It's love and tolerance. It's inclusivity. And just to challenge that this morning, it's not about, and what you don't see a lot of people saying, well, it's got to be about truth, and it's got to be about righteousness, and it's got to be about standing firm on that thing called the gospel. We don't live in a society that says that. A gospel message, and it's becoming more prevalent, and I don't know where we will end up in months or even years' time, the gospel is going to be outlawed. It's offensive. The gospel is offensive. And actually, I made myself laugh as I was jotting some notes. I jolly well hope the gospel is offensive, because it challenges our sin. Which is why these intolerant or inclusive tolerant movements are not tolerant and inclusive of the gospel. So we've got a world that says we should be tolerant and inclusive, and we say, well, this is what the gospel says, and they say, oh yeah, but we're not tolerant and inclusive of that. Where does tolerance actually come in? They're not tolerant of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't see it as good because it demands us to repent, Turning, repenting means obviously turning from going our own way and going God's way. They will need to change. The world would need to change. But the world doesn't want change. It wants upgrades or add-ons. Or even saying, well, what's wrong with the way we're doing it now? Or even, why are you doing it now? It's far better the way we used to do it. We don't want to go in the opposite direction. I think that is our sinful nature. And let's not be fooled by people that saying their ways are fine. It's fine. It's fine for me. It doesn't hurt anybody, does it? I don't know about you, but I've just been gutted by some of the news this week. Literally, my heart's been broken. You see on the news the increase of some negative mental health, and actually there's a child this week that was requesting euthanasia. And it just breaks your heart that where are we at with the things that saying, oh, it doesn't harm anybody, what I think. The increase in self-harm among those who aren't even teenagers yet. We recognise this is prevalent. But in our 10, 11 and 12-year-olds, you know, this is coming in. It's a mindset. It's something that is creeping in. Just because it was some stats that got thrown around, sexually transmitted diseases are on the rise year on year. Mysticism, witchcraft, attractive Eastern religions that are trendy, they're all trying to lure us away from a Christ-centered gospel. And I think what Paul is saying here is not that you've got to get all your armor of God on so you can go into battle and all of these things. We're told to stand firm. And I believe what Paul is saying here, and it's recorded right at the start of Jesus' ministry, Mark 1:15. Jesus came and he said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, after saying this, Jesus trogs off down by the Sea of Galilee. He starts to call his disciples and says, come and follow me. You see, the gospel called them to come and go a different direction. They were probably going to go off fishing. They probably didn't think that morning when they woke up they were going to go off and follow Jesus Christ. We're called to go to a different direction. And it's not about self. It's not about self-image. It's not about self-gratification. In fact, it's got nothing to do with self at all, but to become part of God's kingdom, which is about justice and righteousness. And that's why I think our motto verse is so important this year. Let justice roll on like a river and righteousness like a never-failing stream. You know, this is the kingdom that God calls us to. So I'm going to give us a chance to reflect in a moment. But just in closing, I just want to read a couple of things to you that I was looking at this week. And again, if you look in your notice sheets, all the readings, all the books, things that I mentioned, they're all in there. And I encourage you to press into those. But someone recently was given a little booklet by Pastor Milton Vincent. It was called A Gospel Primer. It was a self-published book. And he actually credits Jeff Bridges' book, which is The Discipline of Grace. And I'll say that's in your notice sheet if you want to go and have a look at these yourself. But he was challenged with this: to preach the gospel to himself every day. He was challenged to preach the gospel to himself every day. And on page 7, Vincent writes this. He said, God did not give us his gospel just so that we could embrace it and be converted. Actually, he offers it to us every day as a gift that keeps on giving to us everything we need for life and godliness. Catch that again for a moment. God did not give us his gospel just so that we could embrace it and be converted. It's not a one-time thing. Actually, God offers it to us as an everyday gift that keeps on giving to us everything we need for life and godliness. And he continues over in page 8. Over the course of my time, preaching the gospel to myself every day has made more of a difference in my life than any other discipline I have ever practiced. Have you ever thought about that before? It's a one-time thing, or it's something every day you can say, this is the gospel, and it's for me. And I just want you to catch that for a moment, because I'm going to give you time to preach to yourself in a minute, okay? But just catch that. It's not a one-time thing. Daily, you can preach the gospel to yourself. I'm going to put up on the screen three little quotes that came from this little booklet. And it talks about preaching the gospel to your soul. And it says, preaching, the first one, preaching the gospel to your soul increases your love for God, for others, and for the lost. When you preach the gospel to your own soul, it increases your love for God, for others, and for the lost. That's awesome, isn't it? What a wonderful gospel we have. The second one says, preaching the gospel to your own soul humbles your pride. Do we have a world and a society that needs to have a bit more humility, that needs to smash that pride? Point three says, preaching the gospel to your own soul causes you to glorify God in all things, including your trials. This gospel is a powerful thing, isn't it? It's a powerful thing. It's more than just a message of salvation. It's more than just having boots or shoes on or sandals on. Paul is saying we cannot stand firm against an enemy unless we know this gospel. This is what the gospel of peace is about. And actually, if we lose our understanding of what the gospel is, how can we defend something that we don't understand it even? So that's where the belt of truth kicks in. I think this is where we start to see this. When the belt of truth kicks in, we know what's true. We guard our hearts so that stuff doesn't come in and pollute it and contaminate it. We have truth. It's pure and it's in our heart, that breastplate of righteousness to guard our hearts. And the message today is to encourage us to preach the gospel to ourselves daily. As well as those who are lost, that's what the gospel's for. It is for those that are lost. But it's also for ourselves. Don't forget, the gospel is for you, and it's for you daily. The gospel is for you. This good news is for you. So I'm just going to give us a moment, maybe 5 minutes or even more. That'll be an awkward space of time, won't it? But just for a moment, just if you like to close your eyes, just preach that gospel to yourself. What is the good news? And if you can remember what the G-O-S-P-E-L stood for, say, God, what does that mean to me? What do you mean to me, God? What does my sin mean? The fact that you've paid that price, that everyone would have that life. What does that mean to me? Preach to yourself this gospel of peace.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.